Blog Talk Radio.
Donnie McClurkin, and speak to my heart. Well, I hear I'm a love journey.
If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide. and let your word abide there.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh, my heart.
Give me your
holy word.
If I can hear from you.
If I can hear from you.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. Yes, 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 your love experience with Janine Ingram. And that was Donnie McClurkin, Speak to My Heart. We're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this whole universe. And yes, on this line, we recognize that great spirit known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So as we move into that presence within, centering our mind, centering our thoughts, recognizing that there's power in the breath family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. In this right now moment, I want you to harness and focus in on the power of the breath to breathe, family. Just to breathe. And I want you to take in deep breaths, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, then I want you to release through your mouth this morning. Breathing in deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart, recognizing that the feelings get the blessing. It's in the heart that has the wisdom. So as you breathe today, family, I want you to breathe, be still, and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe, family. Let's breathe. And release. Be still. Be still and know that I am. But I am breathing. Release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we forget to breathe, Father. I want you to breathe this morning. Just breathe. And release. Just breathe. Divine Mother, Father, God. Come, Holy Spirit, precious and Holy Spirit, come. As I speak from the transcending power of my higher mind self, as I invite and invoke the presence of the God, Goddess consciousness of my higher mind self, come. Holy Spirit, as I ask you to remove every human created thought, every human created evil, as I ask you to allow me to come empty this morning, that I may be filled by the presence of my higher mind self, filled to the overflow, as I invite and invoke the presence of my God, God consciousness. My God, Goddess consciousness, come, Holy Spirit. Speak to me, O Lord. Speak to my mind. As you remove every human created thought, speak to my words, God. As every word I speak will be your words, God. Speak to my heart, O Lord, and give me a clean heart. That every word that I speak in this prayer will be your words, Holy Spirit. Let the words of my mouth and let the meditation of my heart be exactly what you called it for on this day, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak. Divine Mother, Father, God, as I call forth an anointing on this call this morning, God, I ask you to anoint each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and bless every hand, God, and then touch every hand in this call right now, God, that everything we touch not only turn to gold but platinum gold. God, I'm asking you to bless and anoint our feet this morning, God, that everywhere we tread our feet shall be upon holy ground, God. I'm asking you to come bless and anoint us with fresh anointing this morning, God. Bring forth a fresh idea, fresh revelation, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come, God, and bring forth an anointing of Abraham, God, that not only will we be blessed, but we'll be so blessed, God, that even the blessed will call us blessed. God, I'm calling forth an anointing of Solomon, God, for not just wealth, but the wisdom, God, and the discernment, Holy Spirit. God, I'm asking you for your profuse winds of abundance right now, God. I'm asking you to open up your doors, your windows, your gates, your heaven, and pour out a blessing upon us that it won't be room enough to receive it, God. I'm asking you to open up your doors right now, God, and come forth with a supernatural, explosive-type blessing, God. Thrust us into our place of blessing, God. I'm asking you for a miracle that they call forth a miracle. We know everything is a miracle, God. So we're asking you right now, God, to come open up the windows right now, God, and pour forth your favor upon us, God, your supernatural explosive favor, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come right now and bring forth a rave vibratory energy in this call, God. Let us touch the hem of your garment in this conversation today, God. I'm asking you to come and speak through me today, God. I'm asking you to come and remove all of myself, God, that I may come empty, God. So empty that the divine presence will be able to speak only the words of you, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to come right now, God, and bless us today, God. I'm asking for a blessing in our relationships, God. I'm asking for restored marriages, God. I'm asking for new cars, new homes, new books, new all kinds of new everything, God. New businesses, God. Profuse winds of abundance, God. Passive income that exceed our expenses, God. I'm asking you to come, God, and do your will upon our life, God. I'm asking you to wow us today, God. I'm asking you to wow us in our mind, our thoughts, God, the kind of wow that we can do that. Whew, only you, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to come, God, and download your processing us right now, God. Download your thoughts into us right now, God. Download the blessings of the purpose of why we're here right now into us right now, God, that we may be pregnant with a purpose this morning, God, that we may give birth to the seed that you so eloquently placed inside us, to the harvest will come forth today, God. I'm asking you to come, God, and because I know that you impregnated us with a purpose, God. With a purpose so eloquently designed by you, God, I'm asking you to let the goals of our soul unfold this morning. All right now, let the goals of our soul unfold. All right, Holy Spirit, thank you right now, God, for the individualized expression of each and every one of us that show up as you right now, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and let us see our own greatness right now, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and let us open up the wheels of the mind right now, God, that we may see the greatness that you have instilled, instilled, and downloaded into each and every cell in our body, God. Let it reek from the cells of our body, God. Let it come forth and permeate from every muscle fiber in our body, God. Let us operate in the true champion, in the true greatness that you have created us for in this right now moment, God. And let us be accountable for all that you have given us to share with the world, to play full out, to be the fullest expression of the divine energy that you are in us, as it's all around us, God. I say, come, Holy Spirit, and do your will right now, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth the plan right now, God. Let it be so clear, God, that we can see it only with the spiritual eyes of you in the spiritual 2020 of our ears, God. Let us hear the melodic sounds of your words, God, that we may be directed and infinitely guided by you, God. Let our finances be infinitely guided by the truth of who you are in us right now, God, that you will direct our path right now, God, that you will bring forth opportunities like no other, God. I'm asking you to let our eyes be trained to know the opportunities that is for us right now, God. Let our eyes and our ears and our presence be known to the opportunity that you have planned just for us, God, that every opportunity that may come in our place may not be the opportunity for us, but God, let us know what is for us, God. Let us know by your will, God, by your promise, God, by your direction, God, that this is the plan, that this is the opportunity, God. I'm asking you to let us see opportunities where there's no opportunity, God. Let us be resourceful in even when we can't see the resources, God. Let us see the resourcefulness and how to move through the plan that you have so eloquently given us through an opportunity today, God. I'm asking you to thrust us into a blessing today, God, giving us an exit plan with that opportunity, God, that can bring forth a strategy, God, that will put us in the places that we desire to be right now, God, that we can be infinitely ready to move when you say move, God, when we can be infinitely guided by the riches of the universe, God, that we can be open to the presence of you in this right now moment, showing us, guiding us, and leading us in the direction of our purpose, God. And all we say, God, is when we stand in the victory is, thank you, God. Thank you for the victory, God. Thank you for the overflow, God. Thank you for the land of milk and honey, God. Thank you for your promises where you said, God, it is he that gives thee the power to get rich. You said in your word, it is he that gives richly all things, God. You said there was going to be houses that I didn't have to work for, God, that I didn't build, God. You said there were going to be oil rigs that I didn't dig, God. You said there were going to be grapes and vineyards, God, that I didn't do a thing for, God. I'm asking you to come with your promises today, God. I'm asking you to come right now, God, and open up those doors where those things are happening right now, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to open this up to see, God, because I know you don't need our help. You just need our permission right now, God. Show us how to get out our own way, God, to allow the fullest expression of you to shine forth in every cell, every muscle fiber, in every organ, God. I'm asking you for your fullest expression to be expressed in each and every one of us as your individualized expression, God, that we can get out our own way today, God, that we can get out our own way and let the vision pull us and stop letting the pain push us, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, somebody needs you today, God. Somebody came with a mind to be blessed today, God. Somebody came with a heart to hear a word today, God. I'm asking you to speak to our minds today, God. I'm asking you to speak to our hearts today, God. I'm asking you to open up those gates, windows, heavens, and whatever, and blow out a blessing to God into and download it into our mind right now, God. as we hear a word from you in the mighty consciousness and nature of love. We say amen. Oof, and so it is. And so it is. Good morning, family. Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to the sun. Yes, Yah, the sun is shining, the moon and the stars. Good morning to the birds, the bees, the flowers and the trees, the land and the soil. Good morning, earth, wind and the fire, the water and the ethers. Good morning to our most beneficent, angelic family. As we invite the angels into this call this morning, as we invite and invoke the angelic family into this call, thanking the angels, the word tells us that we could command ye the angels. Good morning, angels. Good morning, angels, as we send you out on assignment to create ease, elegance, and grace for our life today. I choose ease, elegance, and grace. Good morning, archangels, as we invite and invoke your presence. Good morning, ascended masters. Good morning as we invite and invoke your presence into this call. Good morning to our master guides. And good morning to our spirit guides as we invite and invoke the master guides and the spirit guides. And good morning to our ancestors. Good morning to those who walk the planet, who sacrificed their lives this morning. Good morning as we pay homage. And as we stand and come and however we are in this presence, in this right now moment, we come physically as one, but we spiritually come as many, thanking our ancestors for the presence of them always being there, paying homage to those. As I give love to my mom, who was the vehicle this, who sent me to the planet through this vehicle called Miss Anastasia McAdoo. Good morning, Miss Anastasia McAdoo. Miss Colette Grant, who midwifed this call right here, this love journey call. I give love and homage to her presence as we invite and invoke the known and unknown ancestors. As we invite them to the call to sit at the presence of this call with us right here, to speak to our mind, to speak into our souls this morning, to direct and to guide us and to lead us. We give thanks as we pay homage to those known and unknown ancestors. Good morning, ancestors. Thank you. And as we stop just a minute to send love into those who will come behind us, those descendants, yes, those who will be blessed just by our very presence, those who will be blessed because of the work that we do today, those who will be blessed because of the prayers of the righteous that availeth much in us right now, God. We give thanks and send love to those who will come behind us. Stop and honor your presence. As I honor the love, the God in the light in you this morning, the presence of the God in me, the presence of light and love in me, honors the God, the light and the love in you this morning. I'm a stay family. Good morning, my kings and queens, my gods and goddesses. Love to the millionaires and billionaires, and peace to the family. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. I tell you, this is a love experience with Janina and Ingram. We're going to play a song, Breathe. We're going to read from The Science of the Mind, and we're going to talk about Napoleon Hill, one of the greatest success secrets in the world, the invisible counselor. All right, family, let's listen to Breathe by Layla Hathaway. There's something powerful that happens when we learn to breathe, to just breathe. Just breathe.
Just breathe. All around me, everywhere.
Journey, your love experience with Janine Ann Ingram, and that was Breathe by Layla Hathaway. Oof, Breathe. That song always touched my heart. It came to me one day. I was devastated. Ooh, have you ever been devastated? Have you ever been where you just felt like you couldn't go no more? Your heart felt like somebody had just stabbed it. And I remember sitting in the car, and this song came on, and it just ministered to my soul. Breathe, Janine. Breathe. This ain't the end of the road. You got to believe that there's still more to the story to be told. I remember just crying my eyes out, trying to breathe. I'm serious. It's funny today, but wow. And that song always made me think about how when we're in a situation, how you forget to breathe, how your breath is just like, and then you're not breathing, you're breathing so shallow. Again, I'm so grateful that the vision will pull you when the pain, when you stop letting pain push you around. You see, pain pushes us around to remind us that that's not the right direction. You see, because we always seem like we want something we ain't supposed to be going in, you know, and we don't even understand it. We don't even get it. But that song just said, it just like brought so much clarity into my heart. It just like breathed. And I said, okay, just breathe tonight, breathe. I realized there's so much power in the breath, family. All right, I just want to send a shout out to Miss Angela. Today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Miss Angela. Miss Taurus in the house. Beautiful sister who's on the line. Thank you so much, Angela, for being who you are. Happy birthday. May today be your best birthday of your life, and may you be filled with love, joy, happiness, and success. I want to send a shout out to Miss Khadija Ali, for bringing us cash flow conversation yesterday. That was, got a lot of feedback yesterday. Everybody ready to play the game now. Let's play cash flow. I even got me a new revelation after yesterday playing. I was sitting here last night getting ready for today, and I just ended up playing and got some new revelation. But we're going to keep it moving. Just want to send a shout out to Khadija, thanking her for the teaching us how to play the game. Cash flow, powerful, family. Hope you checked in at richdad.com and started finding out about your financial statements and doing all you can to reframe your money story. All right, today we're going to talk about the invisible counselors. We're going to start off with the science of the mind, and today's word is compassion. You know, passion and compassion. Something happens in my heart when I say passion, and something happens even deeper when I say compassion. Today's quote comes from Louise L. Hay. If you are a person who gets angry at yourself for being afraid and fearful, then I want you to stop and think of yourself as being a 3-year-old. If you had a little 3-year-old child in front of you who was afraid, what would you do? What would you do? Ernest Holmes says in a book called This Thing Called You, on page 26, your hope lies in the fact that you can change these patterns. Science of the Mind says it is. Today is not the 17th, is it? Today, oops. I am reading from the 17th, but I guess I must need to read that. And today is not Angela's birthday. Tomorrow is, but so those are early things. So we're just going to keep reading, and maybe we need to hear about compassion. It's hard for you to admit when you are fearful or afraid. It can be, especially if you are someone who prides yourself in the knowledge of being in charge of your life. You see, people who read magazines like this one know or are seeking to know that we don't have to live in the effect of our circumstance. Let me say it again. See, we don't have to live at the effect of our circumstances. Having the understanding that we can direct our own experience can lead to self-criticism when things don't go as expected. We can even be so hard on ourselves, often more judgmental or disparaging about ourselves when we will ever be with someone else. Wonder why we're so critical of ourselves, even more critical than we are of other people. See, if this happens to you in the future, would you be willing to speak to yourself as you would to a small, frightened child? Could you exercise the same compassion for yourself as you might if a little one came to you with what was a huge problem in their lives or in their mind? You see, taking care of ourselves is not easy at times. Let me say that again. Taking care of ourselves is not easy at times, but if we don't take care of our needs, we'll soon find it difficult, if not impossible, to care for other people. You see, compassion is a lot like charity. It all begins at home, family. I stopped by to remind you this morning. And it's time to be compassionate to for ourselves. Let me say this again to you. Taking care of ourselves is not easy at times. But if we don't take care of our own needs, we're going to surely find it difficult, if not impossible, to care for other people. Again, compassion like charity begins where? At home. Today's affirmation is, I am compassionate. I am compassionate. I love and acknowledge my needs, and I am comforted by divine love. Let me say that again. I am compassionate. I love and acknowledge my needs, and I am comforted by divine love. Wow. I am comforted by divine love. Family, we're about to talk about one of the most powerful success secrets that many leaders use. Napoleon Hill talked about it in the book Think and Grow Rich. You see, there's power in the subconscious mind, and this particular visualization exercise is one of the most powerful, powerful techniques on the planet. Have you ever wondered where brilliant ideas come from? Thought about what makes the great great? Michael Jackson once said he never wrote a song. He said he took a pen and he closed his eyes and it began to write through him. He said there was something greater than him. They used him to write every song he ever wrote. He said he would get still with himself. And he would see and transcend past the presence of where he was at. And allow the energy of the greatest minds in the universe to come and bring the words to these songs. So how do the world's most prolific artists, business people, thinkers, and inventors get the inspiration for their ideas, their creations, and achievements? Was it their upbringing? Did they happen to just be really lucky? Were they blessed with a gift most of us can only dream of? Or was there something else at work? You see, Albert Einstein said that we all have the capacity to be geniuses. Back in 1937, personal development pioneer Napoleon Hill published a book called Think and Grow Rich, a book that was soon going to become one of the most influential publications of all time. You see, this book was packed with techniques and instructions on how to develop a wealth mindset and achieve success beyond your wildest dreams. Its contents were so powerful that to this day, Think and Grow Rich is widely regarded as a benchmark of all other books of its kind. And I'm sure you read it. But there were a couple of techniques in this book that really intrigued me. One was the invisible counselors, and the one was sexual transmutation. And the technique we're going to talk about today is the invisible counselor. You see, this particular technique in this book shocked a lot of readers. It was so controversial, in fact, that Hill himself was initially hesitant to even reveal it at all. And you know what's interesting is I've met a lot of people who read Think and Grow Rich, but when I talk about the invisible counselors and the sex transmutation, most people say they don't remember that part in the book. And those two techniques was really powerful to me. But in the book, Hill claimed this was the ultimate technique for sourcing skills, ideas, and inspiration. So me, Janine, I came up with a couple of workbooks that I created for my Invisible Counselor workshops because I teach Invisible Counselor vision board classes. And I do a class, group class, and then I do an individual to help people set up their space to bring in this invisible counselor process. And this is this, I have some really great testimonies that we'll talk about too at the end. But let's talk about this, and then I'm going to read the chapter to you. We're going to talk about how we can incorporate this into being a very powerful tool to help take us to the next level, whether it be relationship goals, money goals, holistic goals, whatever. We're going to talk about this. So one of the things we're going to talk about is the technique. We're going to talk about the power behind it. So let's talk about the technique. I'm going to go back and forth through different things and talk about it, and we're going to figure out how you can create your own invisible castle. Napoleon Hill said in one of his exercise journals that I have, he said, this is the step technique. All the words want to come out at once, right? This is the technique that he suggests that we use. It's called, just before we go to sleep at night, we close our eyes and see in your imagination a group of people seated with you around a council table. See, remember, you can invite anyone you'd like to sit at this council table. And when I say anyone, I mean anyone. They can be in another part of the world. They can be celebrities, famous politicians. They can even be alive or dead. Now, not only do you have the opportunity to sit among those you consider to be great, but you can actually dominate the group by serving as the chairman, like Napoleon Hill did. Next step you got to do is be definite, have a definite purpose for holding your nightly council meetings. You see, Hill explains in his definite purpose was to reveal my own character so it would represent a composite of the characters of my imaginary counselors. Your definite purpose can be anything you want to change about yourself or your life. Since all this is going to happen in your mind, your imagination is only the limit. Step three, call on the council members for the knowledge you wish to each contribute. The idea here is to start a discussion with these people on any topic of your choice. So if you want more to discuss about leadership, you can invite Abraham Lincoln, he said. If you want to discuss financial success, I say invite Warren Buffett. If you're looking for enlightenment, you can invite whatever presence that reminds you of enlightenment, Buddha, Jesus, God. If you're looking for ideas to grow your business and make a mark on the world, you can call on somebody who reminds you of that, like Oprah Winfrey, Richard Branson, Steve Jobs. You see, Hill had originally meant for this invisible council to be an imaginary exercise. You imagine you talking to successful people, and you imagine them giving you advice. Nothing much to it, right? But here's where it gets really interesting. You see, after a few times of trying out the imaginary council exercise, Hill found it to be more profound, more real than he ever thought possible. He reported that after a while, each of the characters he imagined actually took on a life of their own. For example, he mentioned that Abraham Lincoln was always late and never smiled. Hill can recall an occasion where two counselors in the boardroom actually got into an argument over a topic that left Napoleon Hill mystified. And on the numerous occasions, the people he had invited would often give him advice and information that he could have never known by himself. But how was this possible? You see, if all this was just going inside Hill's head, how could he be picturing, hearing, and learning things outside of his own comprehension? What was going on here? Was Hill really communicating with these people on some other plane or existence, or did he have an overactive imagination? Before you jump to conclusion, consider this. Napoleon Hill was not alone. For centuries, some of the world's most successful and influential people have reported experiencing very similar, inexplainable flashes of inspiration. Miraculously, he would wake up from these naps, not with a headache, but with dozens of new ideas and inspirations on how to proceed with his research. Interesting enough, Edison has been quoted as saying, ideas just come out of space. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Ideas can come out of space. Elias, the inventor of the sewing machine, you may not know this, but Elias got the inspiration to create a sewing machine from a dream. Hear how he explained the dream. I was in Africa and I was being chased by wild cannibals. They caught me and placed me in a huge pot, and I kept trying to get out, but they kept forcing me back in with spears. But the spears he saw in his dream had holes in the tips, and it was this bit of information that gave him the idea for the sewing machine needle. Walt Disney also had his own unusual method of coming up with powerful ideas. Whenever he had an idea, Disney would run it through a meticulous three-step process to guarantee his ideas always turned out unique, powerful, and feasible. So what was the first step? Did he analyze the market conditions? Did he study the competition? Or did he plan his budget? No, he would simply close his eyes, and he would dream and imagine. You see, all these highly successful people have one thing in common. They had discovered how to tap into a force beyond the confines of their minds and draw from it infinite amounts of wisdom, inspiration, and success. Interesting in learning these things, I was listening to an interview once with Denzel Washington, that when he did Malcolm X, he had studied Malcolm X, and he had spoke to Malcolm X in his dream state. That when he played Malcolm X, and Spike Lee confirmed this at an interview at St. Sabina one day, he said one day Denzel Washington had embodied Malcolm X so to the point that Denzel was speaking stuff that wasn't even in the script, but it was so good they kept it in there anyway. Some people have reportedly saying that watching Denzel play Malcolm X, it was scary to them because they felt like the presence and the embodiment of Malcolm X had showed up. Same thing with Jamie Foxx and Ray Charles. A lot of people use this technique to embody the energy of what it is they want to bring forth and manifest. So when we read this chapter, it's the 13th, and it's called the Sixth Sense. The 13th principle is known as the Sixth Sense, through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. You see, this principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the first 12 principles. The sixth sense is that portion of the subconscious mind which has been referred to as the creative imagination. It has also been referred to as the receiving set through which ideas, which plans and thoughts flash into the mind. You see, the flashes are sometimes called hunches and inspirations, and I like to call them still small voices. You see, that sixth sense defies description. It can be described to a person who has not mastered these other principles or philosophy, because such a person has no knowledge and no experience with which the sixth sense may be compared. You see, understanding the sixth sense comes about only by meditation through mind development from within. Let me say that again, family. Developing this developed portion of our mind can only come through sitting still, meditating, and mastering our mind. After you have mastered the principle described in the book, you will be prepared to accept as truth a statement which otherwise can be incredible to you. Namely, through the aid of the sixth sense, you will be warned of impending dangers in time to avoid them, notified of opportunities in time to embrace them. That's important, family. When we sit still and create this imaginary council, the aid of the sixth sense will warn you of impending danger, but it will also notify you of opportunities in time to embrace them. You see, that comes to your aid and do your bidding with the development of the sixth sense, a guardian angel who will open up to you at all times the door to the temple of wisdom. You see, Napoleon Hill is not a believer nor an advocate of miracles, for the reason that he has enough knowledge of nature to understand that nature never deviates from her established law. Some of her laws are so incomprehensible that they produce what appears to be miracles, But the sixth sense comes as near to being miracle as anything I've ever experienced. This much the art Napoleon Hill does know, that there is a power, you say a first cause or an infinite intelligence which permeates every atom of matter. It embraces every unit of energy perceptible to our mind, that this infinite intelligence converts acorns into oak trees, causes water to flow downhill in response to the law of gravity. It follows night with day, winter with summer, each maintaining its proper place and relationship to the other. You see, this intelligence may, through the principle of this philosophy, be induced to aid in transmuting desire into concrete or material form. See, the author has this knowledge because he has experimented with it and has experienced it. Step by step through the preceding chapters, you have been led to this, the last principle. If you have mastered each of the preceding principles, you are now prepared to accept without being skeptical the stupendous claims made here. If you have not mastered the other principles, you must do so before you may determine definitely whether or not the claims made here in this chapter are fact or fiction. So while I was passing through the ages, this is Napoleon here, of hero worship, I found myself trying to imitate those who I most admire. Most over, I discovered that the element of faith which I endeavored to imitate my idols gave me great capacity to do so quite successfully. You see, I've never entirely divested myself of this habit of hero worship. My experience has taught me that the next best thing to being truly great is to emulate the great by feeling and action as nearly as possible. Long before I had ever written a line for publication or endeavored to deliver a speech in public, I followed the habit of reshaping my own character by trying to imitate the nine men whose lives and life works have been most impressive to me. And these men are as follows: Paine, Edison, Darwin, Lincoln, Burbank, Napoleon, Ford, and Carnegie. Every night over a long period of years, I've held an imaginary council, meeting with this group who I call my invisible counselors. See, the procedure was this. Just before going to sleep at night, I would shut my eyes and see in my imagination this group of men seated with me around my council table. Here I had not only an opportunity to sit among those whom I considered to be great, but I actually dominated the group by serving as the chairman. I had a very definite purpose in indulging my imagination through this nightly meeting. My purpose was to rebuild my own character so that it would represent a composite of the characters of my imaginary counselors. Realizing, as I did early in life, that I had to overcome the handicap of birth in an environment of ignorance and superstition, I deliberately assigned myself to the task of voluntary rebirth through the method I have described above. A time for self-suggestion. I knew, of course, that all men have become what they are because of their dominating thoughts and desires. Let me say that again. I knew, of course, that all men have become what they are because of their dominating thoughts and desires. You see, I knew that every deeply seated desire has the effect of causing one to seek outward expression through which that desire may be transmuted into reality. I knew that self-suggestion is a powerful factor in building character, that it is, in fact, the sole principle through which character is built. With this knowledge of the principle of mind operation, I was fairly well armed with the equipment needed in rebuilding my character. You see, in this imaginary council meetings, I called on my cabinet members for the knowledge I wished to contribute, addressing myself to each member in audible words as follows: Mr. Emerson, I desire to acquire from you the marvelous understanding of nature which distinguishes your life. I ask that you make an impress upon my subconscious mind of whatever qualities you possess which enable you to understand and adapt yourself to the laws of nature. Mr. Burbank, I request that you pass on to me the knowledge which enable you to so harmonize the laws of nature that you cause the cactus to shed its thorns and become an edible food. Give me access to the knowledge which enable you to make two blades of grass grow where one grew before. Napoleon, I desire to acquire from you the emulation. By emulation, the marvelous ability you possess to inspire men and to arouse them to greater and more determined spirit of action. Also to acquire the spirit of enduring faith, which enable you to turn defeat into victory and to surmount staggering obstacles. Mr. Payne, I desire to acquire from you the freedom of thought and the courage and clarity with which to express conviction which so distinguishes you. And Mr. Darwin, I wish to acquire from you the marvelous patience and ability to study cause and effect without bias or prejudice, so exemplified by you in the field of natural science. Mr. Lincoln, I desire to build in my own character the keen sense of justice, the untiring spirit of patience, the sense of humor, the human understanding, and the intolerance which were your distinguishing characteristics. And Mr. Carnegie, I wish to acquire a thorough understanding of the principles of organized effect, which you use so effectively in building a great industrial enterprise. Mr. Ford, I wish to acquire your spirit of persistence, the determination, the poise, and the self-confidence which has enabled you to master poverty and to organize, unify, and simplify human effect so I may help others to follow in your footsteps. Mr. Edison, I wish to acquire from you the marvelous spirit of faith with which you have uncovered so many nature's secrets, the spirit of unremitting toil with which you have so often wrested victory from defeat. You see, my method of addressing the members of the imaginary council will vary according to the traits of character which I was for the moment most interested in acquiring. I studied the records of their lives with pain, taking care. After some months of this nightly procedure, I was astounded by the discovery that this imaginary figures became apparently real. And each of these nine men developed individual characteristics which surprised me. For example, Lincoln developed the habit of always being late, then walking around in a solemn parade. He always wore an expression of seriousness upon his face, and rarely did I see him smile. That was not true of the others. You see, Burbank and Payne often indulged in witty conversation, which seemed at times to shock the other members of the cabinet. On one occasion, Burbank was late, and when he came, he was so excited and enthusiastic and explained that he had been late because of an experiment he was making, through which he hoped to be able to grow apples on any sort of tree. Payne chided him by reminding him that it was an apple which started all the trouble between men and women. Darwin chuckled heartily as he suggested that Payne should watch out for that little serpent when he went into the forest to gather apples, as they had the habit of growing into big snakes, Emerson observed. No serpents, no apples. And Napoleon remarked, no apples, no state. You see, these meetings became so realistic that I became fearful of their consequences, and I discontinued for several months. The experience was so uncanny, I was afraid if I continued them, I would lose sight of the fact that these meetings were purely experiences of my imagination. You see, this is the first time that I had the courage to even mention this. However, I remained quiet on the subject because I knew from my own attitude and connection with such matters that I would be misunderstood if I described my unusual experience. I have been emboldened now to reduce my experience to the printed page because I'm now less concerned about what they say than I was years ago that have passed. Lest I be misunderstood, I wish here to state most emphatically that I still regard my cabinet meetings as being pure imagining. But I feel entitled to suggest that while the members of my cabinet may be purely fictional, and the meeting exists only in my own imagination, they have led me into glorious paths of adventures. They rekindled an appreciation of true greatness, encouraged in creative endeavor, and emboldened the expression of honest thought. Somewhere in the cell structure of my brain is located an organ which receives the vibration of thought, ordinarily called hunches. So far, science has not discovered where this organ or the sixth sense is located, but that's not important. You see, the fact remains that human beings do receive accurate knowledge through sources other than the physical senses. Such knowledge generally is received when the mind is under influence of extraordinary stimulation. Any emergency which arouses the emotion or causes the heart to beat more rapidly than normal may and generally does bring the sixth sense into action. You see, anyone who has experienced a near accident while driving knows that on such occasions, the sixth sense often comes to one's rescue and aid by split seconds in avoiding the accident. These facts are mentioned preliminary to a statement of fact, which I shall now make, namely that during my meeting with the infinite counselors, I mean invisible counselors, I find my mind most receptive to ideas, thoughts, and knowledge, which reach me through my sixth sense. On scores of occasion when I have faced emergencies, some of them so grave my life was in jeopardy, I have been miraculously guided past these difficulties through the influence of my invisible counselors. So my original purpose in conducting these counsel meetings with imaginary beings was solely that of impressing my own subconscious mind through the principle of auto-suggestion. With certain characteristics which I desire to acquire, in more recent years, my experimentation has taken on an entirely different trend. I now go to my imaginary counselors with every difficult problem which confronts me and my clients. The results are often astonishing. Although I do not depend entirely on the form of counsel, I know that once I go to my counsel, I will have the answer. You see, the sixth sense is not something that one can take off and put on at will. Ability to use this great power comes slowly through application. No matter who you are, what may have been your purpose in reading this book, you cannot profit by it without understanding the principles described in this chapter. See, this is especially true if your major purpose is that of accumulation of money or material things. You must master the mind. The chapter on the sixth sense was included because the book is designed for the purpose of presenting a complete philosophy by which individuals may unerringly guide themselves in attaining whatever they ask of life. The starting point of all achievement is what? Desire. The finishing point, that is, brand of knowledge which leads to understanding. Understanding of self, understanding of others, understanding of the laws of nature, and recognizing and understanding of happiness. This sort of understanding comes in its fullness only through familiarity with and the use of the principle of our sixth sense. So having read this to you, you must have observed that while reading it, you were lifted to a high level of mental stimulation. Splendid. We'll come back to this again a month now. Read it once more and observe that your mind will soar to still higher levels of stimulation. Repeat this experience from time to time, giving no concern as how much or how little you learn at the time, and eventually you will find yourself in possession of a power that would enable you to throw off discouragement. Master fear. Overcome procrastination and draw freely upon your imagination. Then you will have felt the touch of that unknown something which has been the moving spirit of every truly great thinker, every great leader, every great artist, every great musician, writer, and statesman. Then you will be in a position to transmute your desire into your physical or financial counterpart as easy as you may lay down and quit at the first sign of opposition. Some points to remember. Inspiration, hunches, no longer pious you back. Now they flood you with dynamism through your creative imagination. You see, Napoleon Hill chose Henry Ford and I, the other successful people, because his invisible counselors, you can win your goals just as they did with the same startling methods. Now you are in touch with the unknown something which has stood steadfast for all great men at all time. It still works. Seemingly miracles in the arts and science and business of every kind. If your major purpose is accumulation of money or any other material thing, then this chapter is especially important in guiding you, because the ladder of success is never crowded at the top. The ladder of success is never crowded at the top. So let's go over a few things, and this is what I've put in my workbook to kind of harness some of the things, and then I'm reading from my workbook that I created when I do this class on how to implement your invisible counselor. The first thing I ask you to do, you know, of course, everything I always ask you to do is what? Sit still and light you a couple of candles. I'm a music person, so I always start off with my music. And in this process, it helps me to, for me, and when I teach, I have, when I teach this class, I usually light candles and I have music going so we can kind of think about who are the people we would want to be in our council. Who are the people we would want to sit with? It doesn't matter if they're still alive. It doesn't matter if they have passed on in spirit. What are some of your goals in life? And when you think about their goals, then you can think about who have already created or had that life in them, in that same goal. Like maybe you want to be a New York Times best millionaire, best-selling writer, book, or whatever. Anybody want to think about who's created a million-dollar New York Times best-selling book? And you might want to invite them to be a part of your council. But you want to think about who would you invite? And you start off with your goals. And it's easy to start off with your goals because guess what? Then you know who you want to invite because you want to be intentional. You want to bring this intentional process into your space. Some of you, I might want to develop more spiritual. So you might want to invite Christ. You might want to invite Buddha. Maybe Muhammad, whatever level of thought process. And so the first chapter after I go through the Napoleon Hill is setting the scene. So I always say you got to set your scene up. And that's because I'm going to be honest, I'm an ambiance person. I believe that ambiance helps us to get into the mood. So get yourself comfortable, a place where you can sit undisturbed for at least 30 minutes. You may want to dim the lights, have on your light, on your writing pad, because I believe you should have your writing pad near you and have a little candle next to your writing pad or something that could light the, like I use a book light on my pad. And then I light a candle and I burn some incense and I might even sage my space, but I create the ambiance. And I have a little water fountain. I may sit up, turn up my water fountain. But that's what I do. But you may want to play with some soft music with no words. Sometimes I prefer the silence. Sometimes I prefer, depending on what day I'm doing, whatever I'm doing. But you have to figure out your own scene. So the first thing I do in my workbook, I talk about setting the scene. Let's begin in the mind's eye. Step into your large room with a big conference table in the center and imagine a room. And imagine the table being oval, if you like oval, rectangle, if you like rectangle, or whatever, you know, however you want to do it. It's your life and your vision. Close your eyes for a moment and envision people filling into the room and taking a seat at the table. And if there's someone you'd like to be there, imagine them there. You may only have a few to begin with. Attendance will grow as you continue with further meetings. And decide who you want to have there and what characteristics. So maybe you might want to change the climate and culture of the community. You might want to invite Dr. Martin Luther King. So you would write Dr. Martin Luther King down. And so Dr. Martin Luther King is who you want. Then you write down his name and write down Dr. Martin Luther King's characteristics that you want to embody. Maybe you want to shift the financial situation in your life. Maybe Warren Buffett is somebody that you admire. Or maybe Jay-Z. You write their names down, and then you write down what characteristics that they have that you will want to embody and impress upon your subconscious mind, that there can be a composite of who you want to rebirth yourself into. So as you come up with your counselor, you can create a vision board with their pictures and the characteristics underneath. You can create an altar. So many things you can do with your invisible counselor. You don't have to have a certain amount of number of people. You can have more or less. They can change as time goes on. There's no right, there's no wrong. But this is one of the most powerful tools that you can use to embody, to help take you to the next level. It's to be mentored and to be counseled by the energy of the power of those that you bring into your space through embodying the invisible counselor. And they will direct you. They will lead you. They will guide you. And Napoleon Hill really takes this particular technique and attributes it to his success in life. It's been amazing. I'm going to read you a testimony from a lady who went to one of my classes, and I came to our house, and we set up her space. We did, you know, meditated together on who her counselors would be, and it was so powerful. And here's some of her successes that she wrote. I'm pulling it up right now. Sorry for not having it ready. But this is what she said. Let me see. Let me find it. She emailed me. I'm trying to find her email, and I apologize for not having it up. I thought I had it up, but I guess I had too many things up, or I lost it. Okay. So here's her invisible counsel. She has placed a ring on her to see it at night. Her invisible counselor were Randolph Hearst, who built a publishing empire, Alice Bailey, her work laid a foundation for the consciousness of growth movement. Some people I don't know. Charles Leadbeater, who for occult work, he did occult work regarding thought forms. I'm just reading just aspects of this. Mahayoga Shati, because of the work she did to in devotion to her love and spiritual development. BK works for the furthering of spiritual evolution using meditation. KH, Ray Love, wisdom master, who used his sound as a sacred draw. Brother Lawrence, practiced the presence of God until he became that presence. Joel Goldsmith, a healing and Christian mystic. Abraham Hicks, who has crystal clarity. George Washington Carver, who created genius through meditating on his object. Paul Bragg, y'all know apple cider vinegar. You are what you eat, drink, breathe, think, say, and do. Jacqueline Lamy, Stephen Hawking's knowledge of relativity. Ted Turner, who loved media. Louise Hay, who built a publishing company, Mother Teresa, Yogananda, and the Dalai Lama. And she put in there little aspects of these characteristics that she wanted to embody. She said, and then she created a diagram that she set up in her journal where everybody would sit. And then she had her little goals that she had set up, and she created, every time she met with them, she had a session that she did. She would do minutes after the sessions was done. So she would have, like, who was in attendance. Like, one time in her attendance, Jesus actually showed up, and all the other people, everybody else I said, but Jesus was not on the first one, she said. And then she said she wrote in red ink what she was told, and then she wrote in black ink her question. So So when she went in, she would always start off, I call all invisible counselors to join me at the table. She said she would watch them come in and sit down, and she would ask questions. So, like, for instance, I know the universe will provide me for abundance no matter what, just because my thoughts stay relatively high for the most part, but I choose specific things I want in order to exercise what I want to know. So, like, she had a business plan of things she wanted, and somebody in the business plan at the council told her to actually start using her website and start bringing ads, and told her how to put her ads together and actually help her put her products together. So here's her testimony. I'm just kind of describing, trying to go through it because it's a very long email, and I don't want to read the whole email to you. But I'm just trying to tell you some of the things that happened. So she was able to put her business together. She was able to come up with products and words to her product, and or whether it was an e-book, the CD, or whatever. She was able to come up with these inspirational words to put on her, to get together her website. So with that being said, she was told to get her website together, do her products and all that stuff, right? This is what she was told in her invisible counsel. So here's the testimony. Dear Janine, but with all that being said, here's what I want to say. Yes, it was hard for me to believe at first that this could work, but me being me, I decided to take your advice. Thank you for counseling me. Thank you for coming by my house, and thank you for helping me set up my counsel. She said, but let me just tell you, the peace that I have beyond understanding, when I would do something, I would have fear beyond my own imagination, fear of everything coming up. It's not that I don't experience the fear, but guess what? The fear is lessened because I know that I am loved by the universe. You see, when I went in to do my counsel, I asked for certain things that I needed. I asked for a source to produce my CDs, and somebody was riding on the bus with me, and they helped. We get to talking, and they helped me put my CDs together. I had to write my script and record for my audio files, and guess what? The words came to me in a dream that night that I woke up and began to write all the words to my script. I wanted to put together ads to sell on my advertisement. And I learned how to do all these things from my counselor and attracted a lot of it just by sitting still and allowing the answer to come through me, through my counsel. I just want to tell you that this has been one of the most amazing miracles that has ever happened in my life. I am learning to use the energy outside in this universe, the truth that lives, by using the energy of these people to change the climate and culture of my business, my relationship. And can I just tell you what's interesting? I lost 45 pounds. I have been working hard all these years to lose weight. And guess what? Just by a matter of fact, just by relaxing more, I didn't even notice it. My husband said, babe, you realize? She got on the scale and 45 pounds was off. And she goes on to talk about other things. I just want to say thank you for being one of the most amazing people who has transformed, upgraded, taken my life to the next level through this information of divine, invisible counsel. That was one of the testimonies from in class. I just wanted to share one of the testimonies, and I got other testimonies and other people who found this to be very powerful in their life. We have very famous people who use this technique. This is in the Think and Grow Rich book, and it's called The Chapter on the Sixth Sense. You can research it and find more information about it. It's one of the most powerful things I found on the planet. Napoleon Hill said that changed the life of climbing the culture of his life and how he navigates through it. Any questions, comments, or concerns, you can star 6. If you have any questions on Blog Talk, you can press 1. Today, this technique has changed so many people's lives that I just want you to know that this is powerful. I hear somebody.
Yes, it is very powerful. It is very, very powerful. Good morning, Lady Love. This is Mama Joy. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, needed that this morning, right on time. Yeah, it's amazing. And to couple with that, I was thinking, because now I'm beginning to go there too, and that I hadn't heard about the invisible council, the invisible church, the invisible, all these invisible institutions. I mean, these places are really real. And I call on, I hadn't called on my council, I just call on my elders, you know, my partners. I call upon them, and they have come, and I can remember, I hadn't been calling upon them too recently, but I'm going to be doing it again, and I've heard you, because when I got started in the community, they were my partners, and they helped me to organize and to do things here. So amazing how you move away from that, and you don't think of it too much anymore, and you wonder why you get a little stagnant, but so much for that. You know, one of the amazing things is you are talking, I've thought about a situation that, all the conversation I had with my neighbor a few days ago. She had gone to this garden shop, and they were teaching her about the succulent plants. I was telling her how much I love jade, and when I went, I always believed, I never saw jade outside of a pot. And so, and whenever we talk about it, it was always a potted jade plant. But then when I went to California, I couldn't believe jade was all outside, like the borders of, you know, the tree. I mean, like you have your evergreens here in Chicago. And I couldn't believe that. I actually believed that jade was all, I mean, it was just a potted plant. And it had to go, it had to stay in the pot. And so I learned that, you know, a lot of things that I believed, that was something that me, I really believed, and it was shocking to me. So this, 2 days ago, I was telling my, sharing that with my neighbor. She said, Joy, she said, that's a succulent plant. I said, really? And she said, well, you know, with the succulent plants, they hold a lot of moisture. And when I would try to take my plants and soon as one would die or break off or whatever, I always put them in water and put a little quick growth in it. But with my succulent plants and my hens and chicks, I never went. Guess what she told me? She said, with the succulent plants, you don't put them in the earth. You don't put them in water. You just put them on the surface of the dirt. She said, and she learned, she said, that they have the power to go inside of themselves, go into their inner source that dwells in themselves, and they will give life to themselves. They will give roots to themselves. And I could remember the boys when they were knocking the jade, they say, oh, they come back. And I was upset. But she told me, like these succulent plants, you just take them, and they had, if you cut pieces, and rather than putting them in anything, they have the capacity to go into the inner strength, the inner source, and give themselves life. You just leave them alone, and every now and then let them go to the light. Isn't that amazing? And all I can think of is that is what we are. Sometimes we feel we need all these things, the people all the time, but when we get in those states of devastation, and I know I have my places, I have my times, and when I get to the point where I just cannot go any further, like I'm against the wall, or it gets to get dark, and I just gasp, and golly, I can't move anymore, and I just ask God to, I just close my eyes, like you say, hey, I need some light. I mean, I need some light. And sometimes it's almost crushing. But do you know what? If I lay down, something will come. An idea will come. And rejuvenate me and revive me and get my joy. And you know what? I start moving on. It just lifts. And you can't really describe those places except it's there. And anyone who's been there know it. But if you ever stop and just call upon, you know, God, or the voice, source within, light will come and you'll be able to move again. And these plants, they do the same thing. So when you think of yourself being in the garden of God, always think of the power and the kingdom can be described in many ways. But that's when you know you have reached into your power, is when it comes and you have no place else to go. And then source just comes forth and moves you on through towards your destination. Thank you for the invisible counsel. Thank you. I've had chats with Henry Ford, too, I want you to know. Thank you.
Abraham Lincoln, too, right?
Oh, yes, yes. When you call him this morning, I need Lincoln with me now. Yeah, yeah, I need Lincoln with me now. So I got to get to rolling. Yeah, because the 21st is coming up, and yep. So thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. God bless. Love you.
Love you, too. All right. Any more questions, comments, concerns, any thoughts? All right. Press 1 if you're on Blog Talk. Press 6, star 6 if you're on the teleconference. All right, well, this is the conversation, and I know you're kind of quiet. It might be new to you, but if Think Thin Can Grow Rich, I think you should read it, do some research, and you'll find this to be a very powerful technique to add to your arsenal to move your life to that next level. Good morning.
Right. I just wanted to make a comment on that. And you know, there's a lot on YouTube with Napoleon Hill, a lot. And reader. They can get some points from him from YouTube as well. It's amazing. And when you said 1937, just think about it. 1937, oh, this was available. But if you don't know, you don't know. You know what I'm saying? So it's amazing. He's inspired many people, you know. So anyway, Clement Stone. I mean, it's just a whole line of them. You know what I'm saying? A whole line of them.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Hubbard, a whole line of them. It's amazing. You just line them up. You just line them up. And shoot. And we, too, have the same track. We just line them up, line them up. Search for the truth, just line them up. But Napoleon Hill, yeah, YouTube is another source. You a reader. I dib and dab in reading, but in whatever. But I get to YouTube since I discovered that. And I listen to the meditations there, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama Joy.
Welcome.
Khadija, I see you open your line. I don't know if you still want to talk.
Can you hear me, Janine?
Yes. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. I am thoroughly enjoying this conversation because everything is coming back to me. Sometimes you listen to information over and over and over and over and over again. And I actually did a YouTube video probably a year and a half ago regarding my invisible counselors. And, you know, our conversation we had a couple of days ago really sparked me to pull them out the closet, so to speak, because I had them inside of my closet on the closet door, and no, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I hid them like that, but anyway, I pulled them out. I pulled Reverend Ike out and, you know, started adding him and adding them, put them in a nice, pretty frame, and put them actually on the side of my bed so that I can start to have the conversations with them, because I hung them up and it's like, okay, now you've done the surface stuff with it. Now it's time to really get into accessing, you know, their essence that's still somewhere here in the universe. And so I did want to share some of the people that I have on my list, and I appreciate you sharing the list that your, you know, your client shared, because I didn't know of some of those people, and some of them I did know of. And one of the people I have on my list is W. Clement Stone. I have him, and I have Huey P. Newton and Marcus Garvey and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And my most favorite of all time is Madam C.J. Walker. Like, I just, for some reason, her spirit speaks to me on such a deeper level. And I've been actually fortunate to be in contact with her great, great, great granddaughter, Alelia Bundles. And from time to time, we connected on Facebook. And, you know, it was just such an honor. I was like, you know, just such an honor to, like, know you and know that, you know, this is your lineage. But from time to time, when I want to feel her spirit and see her in the flesh, you know, I'll go to Alelia's Facebook page and see what she's up to and see what she's doing and, you know, just kind of tap into her in that way. But this conversation has sparked me to go deeper with my invisible counselors and really start doing some real work with them. And I just want to thank you. And I'm about to pull Think and Grow Rich off of my shelf right now. So thank you so
All
much.
All right. You're welcome, Khadija Ali. Yes, yes.
Can I just call her the cash flow queen?
Yes, that is the cash flow queen right there.
Thank you.
I just wanted to speak to you and say good morning to you.
Good morning, love. I enjoyed my game with you guys. I got to get back on again.
Yes,
rolling low.
Just let us know so we can all play together.
Thank you.
So, Joe, we had a conversation yesterday called the cash flow conversation yesterday. And I'll tell you, in the cash flow conversation cafe, what happened was so many good things came out. And I was telling Khadija that it was great to have you and Erica there, because what happened was I never paid attention to the doggone income statement sheet. But when y'all start asking questions about it, last night it even occurred to me why I was going into bankruptcy, because I never paid attention to the income. So I thought if I was making $5,000 a month as a fireman or whatever, my $5,000 a month plus my passive income, but I never paid attention to the expenses that was going out. And I kept wondering when you start getting in the minus, like you get this minus amount that come into your account every month. I mean, every time you hit payday, I was like, well, why is it hit minus? I make $5,000. It was because it minuses the expenses, and that's how much you make every time you hit the payday. And so I was like, oh, my God, this is why I was hitting bankrupt, because I wasn't paying attention to the expenses plus what I was making. Because if I was making $10,000, I felt like, oh, I'm making enough money. How am I bankrupt? This ain't crazy. But it was the income statement. You kept saying, the income statement. Well, let me read this financial statement. Financial statement. I'm like, Joy, thank you for saying that, because it changed my, stopped myself and made me read that financial statement.
Yeah, baby doll. That's real, and it's real, and it takes a little time. So it does. It's amazing. It's amazing that, you know, and it goes back to what we were talking about. We see the tangible, but you got to know something happened in the invisible, you know, what you don't see. So underline your money is working too. Your money is working for you. And financial statement lets you see where your money is working, and you're not touching it. Oh, man, that was, yeah, thank you for reminding me about that. Yeah, I got to go take a look at my stuff now. Yeah. It's not just what you see. You know, it's what you don't see, too, that's working for you. Are you the working against it?
Sure. Thank you, Mama Joy.
Sure.
All right, any more? All right, any more questions, comments, or concerns? Let's See, no more questions, no more concerns. All right, well, I'm going to get ready and let us go. It's 7:36, and this is Tuesday the 16th, not the 17th. I was already on tomorrow, y'all. All right, I just want to remind you that your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dream. And remember, the power is in you to work. I'm going to leave you with this thought with T.D. Jakes, because we waste so much time. So with the days that we have left, what are we going to do with our time? What are we going to do with the time that we have left? Now that we are really up-leveling our tools, what are we going to do with the time that we have left?
What are you going to do with the time you have left? What are you going to do with the time you have left? I say that if you don't reposition yourself, you could miss the best time in your life.
Yeah.
If you don't know what time it is, time will get away from you, and you won't know where it went. The worst thing in life is not money getting away from you. It's not people getting away from you. It's time. Where did it go? I am my parents' age. My mother was sitting up talking with her sisters several years ago, and they were sitting up and they were drinking some coffee, and they said, "Girl, where are all the old people?" Said, "Where's Miss Susie and Miss Helen and Miss Reggie Mae and all the old people?" And I was sitting over there thinking, y'all are the old people now. And before I could get through thinking it, they were gone. And my hair was white. And my afro was gone. What are you going to do with the time you have left?
Wow. What are you going to do? Family, what are we going to do with the time we have left? Well, that's something I want you to think about as you move through the day today, thinking about your reframing your money story, as you think about writing in your money journal, as you think about who you want to embody the characteristics of and allow it to permeate your subconscious mind and become deeply embedded in who you are becoming more of, I want you to think about what legacy, what will you leave the planet knowing? Family, we got to make the mirror our best friend. This is Layla Hathaway. This has been, you've been tuned into The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and I am profoundly grateful that you took your time of all the things you could have done and been right here with Janine on The Love Journey. This is
bitter hearts don't hold a smile. Troubled minds will wear you down. Use your past to get ahead. Hold your tears and think instead. You have to find a way to make it. These clouds are letting up for a while. Sometimes you gotta make the mirror your best friend. And maybe then you'll find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. Now you know the remedy. Tell yourself you will achieve. Go on and brush your shoulders off. This bridge is one that you must cross. You have to find a way to make it. These clouds are letting up for a while. Sometimes you gotta make mirror your best friend. And maybe then find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. If you love yourself, you don't need nobody else.
Don't need nobody else.
No. Find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself like no one else can.